1550 and 1400 AM.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It's Tuesday. This is Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and we are taking care of business with you today. You know, it's all about the upcoming primary election, voter registration, and a lot more information that you can use with Bonner County Clerk Michael Rosedale. You don't want to miss this. You know, I'm aware that many of you listeners that tune in here regularly are aware of some of the audit situations and audit things have been going on around the county. So we're not going to get into the politics of it for sure, but we are going to get into a tutorial on, you know, what funding amounts, who audits what different funding streams that come into the county or other entities. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program. Stick around for that. It's important that you understand what the law in Idaho is. All right, first break coming up right now. We're going to do a little business, and we'll be right back.
I'm Amelia Boyd from the Bonner General Health Foundation Board of Directors, and I'm inviting you to join us for our 16th annual Heart Ball on February 3rd. This year, we are raising funds for a new endoscope. This scope will be used across multiple departments at BGH and is critical for early cancer detection. You can expect an evening of fine dining, dancing, and paddle raising for a life-saving cause. Go to bonnergeneral.org/foundation for all of the details.
Only in a boat. It's the Spokane Boat Show 70th anniversary.
It's back. Four big days, January 25th to the 28th at the Spokane County Fair and Expo Center. New dealers, new boats. Learn more at SpokaneBoatShow.com.
The boats are back, and you'll see the latest makes and models. See heavy-gauge fishing boats, pontoon party barges, performance wakeboard and ski boats, personal watercraft, canoes and kayaks, plus accessories, docks, and performance boat parts. The Spokane Boat Show is family fun. 4 days only, January 25th through 28th. Find the hours at SpokaneBoatShow.com. It's easy to compare all at one site, and there's major boat show price reductions from the manufacturers and local dealers. Enjoy free parking at the Spokane Fair and Expo Center. Only in a boat, only in it starts Thursday, January 25th, 4 days only. The Spokane Boat Show, sponsored by the Spokane Yacht Club.
At Vive, we give you more with our fiber-powered internet. So when we thought about what else we could give, the answer was simple. Even more. More great deals to keep you even more connected. Right now, get our high-speed 105 megabits per second internet for only $19.99 a month for the first 6 months when you autopay. Plus, free installation when you order online. Sign up today at vivebroadband.com and get more than ever before. Offer ends March 31st, 2024. Not available in all areas. Modem, certain installations, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to data plan. Visit vivebroadband.com for all restrictions.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
KBFI. KSPT. North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. Join me now. Say hello to Mike Rosedale, our Bonner County clerk, who does such a great job keeping all of our elections straight and all of the county clerk duties going. His deputy Terry Schultz is here with us today. She won't be speaking, but she is supervising. And we're going to talk about voting today. So, Michael, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate it. You know, I just try to do things in order. Let's get started. Let our audience know if you are not registered, this is the way you do it in Idaho or in Bonner County.
Perfect. Every year, you have to re-register to vote absentee.
Right. Let's let absentee voting go. Just get registered to vote.
Sure. To register to vote. The laws changed last year, last July 1st, and then again sort of on January 1st with what you can use to show to vote. But to register, you have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to be 18 years of age on election day or by election day. So you can register before you're 18 if you will be 18 on election day. You have to be a legal resident of Idaho County for at least 30 days prior to that election. And you can't have any legal disqualifications like you're a felon or something like that. Okay. Those are the main things. And then to register, you can do that in person on election day. You can do that on the Secretary of State's website, which is voteidaho.gov. Or you can do it in our office, too, with just come in and pre-register while that's open.
Just come in anytime. How does a person prove they're a citizen?
So your driver's license, they do a driver's license check when you register online, and they cross-reference that with your driver, with what you're doing, and that will show if you're a citizen or not.
Is that true all across Idaho?
Yes, it's an Idaho state system.
Okay, but maybe not true in other states.
I don't know that.
Okay, well, we're not here to talk about other states. All right, so citizen, you have to be 18 at least by the time of the election. How do you prove your residency?
So on when you are registering to vote, there are certain types of IDs, and that would be your driver's license would be one. There are certain photo that they have authorized. Your photo, driver's license, a concealed weapon permit would be one, a valid U.S. passport or federal photo identification card or a valid tribal identification card. If you've moved into Idaho and you don't yet have a current one where you currently recently moved to, you will also have to show something that shows where you live. And that would be a proof of insurance or a mortgage, lease rental agreement, property tax assessment or a utility bill, a bank card statement.
But they don't stand alone. You still need this photo
right.
ID thing going on and then...
Right. And it's easy to figure out, really. There are three things you need to triangulate to register to vote. Your face with your name, with your residence. So the face is a to be able to register to vote, you still have to have a valid, there are three things you have to have to prove the exact location in Bonner County. There's something else, but to register at all.
Like south of the Long Bridge doesn't do it.
South.
Yeah, I live south of the
right,
Long
Bridge.
Right,
I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, I do too, but I get to do it. I'm still in Bonner County. Okay, so a valid Idaho driver's license or concealed. For the record, everybody out there, she said she was going to try to trip me up every way she can, and she's laughing hard.
And I just did south of the Long Bridge. That was almost too easy.
That's right. So the official ID card, so like an official driver's license or concealed weapons from Idaho, it has to be a valid one from Idaho, U.S. passport or federal identification card that's current, or a valid current tribal identification card.
Okay, so you have to be who you are and show Bonner County who you are. I want to compliment Bonner County, and I don't know who's in charge of all the website for Bonner County, bonnercountyid.gov. It is so good. It is so clear. If you just go there, you can get to the clerk, you can get to elections, and from that point on, you know, whatever you want to do is right there in all the buttons.
Great.
For you to click. I am truly serious. I don't know who's designing it or who keeps it up to date, but it's clear, it's fast, it's good. It's so easy to navigate. Who's in charge of that anyway? Who does that?
Jacob Storms. He's our technology director. He's the one in charge of that, and he's improving it from there as well.
Well, kudos to Jake and his team. All right, one of the buttons that you can click on is to find your polling place. You can register to vote and find out where you're going to vote.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So when you click on that, so first of all, you go to the county website, bonnercountyid.gov, and there's an election button, like you say. Then that takes us to our election landing page. We have on the bottom of our landing page, there are eight boxes. The top right box says Find My Polling Place. If you click on that, it has a map that comes up of Bonner County. On the upper right-hand part, there's a place you can type in your address. And as soon as you type in your address, it'll tell you exactly where your polling place is.
That is so very cool. So Find My Polling Place. And I saw one of those buttons said sample ballot. I mean, do we have a sample ballot already?
We don't even know who's running.
So we don't know.
No. That's when it gets close. That's where you would get that. And you would be able to find out exactly what's on your ballot.
Okay. Right now, you're going to be our sample ballot today because we're going to ask you some of the offices that are going to be on there. I mean, at least that could be. It could be like
as of right now, it's blank.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody has filed because nobody
can. But does it even have the offices, even though there are no names attached, if I went to that sample ballot? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Well, that would be something Jake could work on. Just to mention, I mean, it'd be good to know and say, you know, the sheriff's position, you know, District 1 on county commissioners, you know, what are we voting on?
I can tell you that right now if you'd like.
I know. We're going to get to that. Before I get off of your BonnerCountyID.gov, one of the buttons you can tap is volunteer. And what's up when you hit that button?
So when you hit volunteer, it takes you to a place where you can fill out a form if you want to be a poll worker, all that. So you can fill that out, and then that would send it to the elections office or email, and then we'll get that information. And as we need additional people, we'll contact you.
So if anybody out there is interested in volunteering, then better to do it now than later. I mean, get your name in. You know, I don't know. Do you do background checks? I don't know what you look at to approve someone. Do they have to be registered to vote? I don't know. What goes on? How do you select your volunteers?
Actually, you don't have to be registered. We can have 2 16-year-olds per precinct actually volunteer. So if you're in high school and you want to volunteer, we can have up to 2 16-year-olds volunteer at a precinct.
Okay, so when they're not 18 yet, so they're not eligible.
They can't vote, but they can help.
Yeah, they can help, and I like that. And the other button that I looked at, just kind of out of curiosity, was FAQs, frequency asked questions, and I thought that was very good, just too because it helps people. I don't know, figure out what other people are curious about, what they're confused about, and it must help you guys to look at that from time to time. Who answers the FAQs?
Well, they're already written down, so that's a process. Terry would be the one mainly writing those down as far as the questions they frequently get by phone call and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then they just reduce them to writing so that people going to our website can
go there. And catch it, and then the answers are already there.
Yes.
So, but somebody had to write those answers.
That's right.
All right. Well, that somebody doesn't have a name, but it sounds good to me.
She who shall remain anonymous.
She shall remain anonymous. All right. So anyway, there you go, guys. BonnerCountyID.gov. You can get tons of information there. You can register to vote. You can find out everything you need to know. And then as time goes on, there will be, like in the sample ballot, even more information for you. All right. Now let's go to the absentee ballot tell us how that works from BonnerCountyID.gov.
Mm-hmm. So to register for an absentee ballot, the state requires us to re-request that every year. And it's in mid-January when they fill out the form. You can do it several ways. You can do it online at voteidaho.gov. That's the fastest way to do it, and it automatically gets processed in the system called 10X, which is how all the requests are generated. You can do it at our office by filling out a form. You can fill it out and mail it to us. Now, when you do that, you have to sign your absentee request, and we actually check your signature as that request comes in to make sure it is you who's requesting that at your address, not somebody pretending to be you sending it to somebody else's address.
Yeah.
So we do that. And then you, on that request, you get to pick which elections you want to receive that for. Some people will be out of town for an election, but not all of them. Some people want them sent to their homes for all 4 elections or 3 elections. So,
right, that's a very cool option that you have. You can click on all the elections, each one individually,
right,
or just pick and choose which ones you want. All right, so that's at voteidaho.gov. You can go to bonnercountyid.gov, and it will have a button that you can click and link you out, or you can just go directly to voteidaho.gov. Linking it from Bonner County is, I don't know, easiest for me. Couple of questions. I was interested, it seemed like this was the first year I noticed they had saved data. When I came to the box that was my last four Social Security digit numbers, there was a prompt that came up with those numbers.
Now, this is on the Secretary of State's website.
This is on the voterid.gov.
Okay.
And I just thought, I don't like it that they can prompt me. I mean, who else could be on there looking and opening up? So I don't know whether it was my computer that remembered the last four digits of my Social Security. This is probably a question you can't answer, but FYI, it prompted me to my last four digits of my Social Security number.
Got it. Well, it would be one of two things. It would be either your computer wanting to memorize that for a future transaction with the Secretary of State's website, or it's their website, which we have absolutely no control over.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm hoping that it's pretty tight, for the integrity of that website. Anyway, it surprised me because not usually you don't get a prompt for the last four digits of your Social Security number. But who knows? Maybe at some point in the distant past, where my memory fades, I said, "Remember this," and somebody remembered it. So anyway, FYI on that. My other comment, just to repeat for them, Mike, about how every year you have to do this. Absentee ballots are unique.
Yes, every January you have to reapply. It's only good for 1 year. And the reason is they want to know, because if it kept on going for every year, they would send ballots out every year, year after year after year, and you could have moved away a long time ago.
Yeah.
So they want to, that's one way just to make sure that people that have moved out don't keep getting ballots. They would, of course, never get returned because nobody could sign the signature and return them. But it's just another safeguard.
Yeah, plus it's just a messy system if they're just printing and printing and printing ballots going out to who knows who is at that address now. Yeah, so I like it that you have to reaffirm every year and reapply every year that, you want an absentee ballot. The only other thing I want you to comment on, this kind of drives me a little crazy because you cannot believe how many people think, they say, how is it? Idaho has mail-in ballots. And I go, no, Idaho does not have mail-in ballots. We use absentee ballots through the mail, but those are not mail-in ballots. And they're like, yeah, right. So explain again how the absentee ballot system in Idaho, even though it goes through USPS, is not like out in Pennsylvania or Michigan, the mail-in ballots.
That's a great question. And there's a very big difference. So the mail-only ballots, like Washington State or whatever, they mail a ballot to everybody who is registered. That's unlike Idaho, where you have to request it. So it's an absentee, not a mail only. So it's an absentee. You request it in writing with your signature or through the idahovote.gov, which locks it with your signature and your driver's license and all that, and make sure that's going on. Then they only send it to those people. And so only the people that requested it and are expecting it are getting those. Everybody else can.
And giving the information they need to give to get it every year.
Right. Idaho also has huge safety, which is the signature line. So like I said, when you request an absentee ballot from our office or from the Secretary of State's office, it matches it with your signature, and we confirm your signature if you do it in our office. Then we send it to you. When you get it back, when we get it back from you, we once again check that signature, and that we see your exact signature that you used either on your driver's license or your voter registration card. And we reject some each time, and we're very picky about that.
There's a lot about the state of Washington I don't understand. I know we're not here to talk about it, but how can they send out ballots to everybody who's registered? I mean, they die, they move, a lot of them are moving to Idaho. I mean, it's just like, talk about just wasting money on postage going out for openers.
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I can say they probably have a system where when there are, with the funeral homes, the mortuaries, they pull voters off the rolls, just like we do here in Idaho. One cost they would save in perhaps are the polling locations and the overproduction of ballots. They won't have that. They won't have a lot of those kinds of costs that we do. I prefer our system far over those systems, though, because I believe it's far safer.
It is far safer. There's no question about it. And every year, just so our audience knows, and I don't know if this is on the primary every election or just in the fall general, but there is an audit. It's like a random audit for different counties. Tell us how that works, because I think that's so cool.
We have been fortunate to win the lottery every time. So so the first way back after that, when the whole Mike Lindell thing came out, I volunteered to have Bonner County audited, and we came out great. And since then, the Secretary of State, working with the legislature, put in rules so that after every partisan election or any general election, they can randomly audit different counties. And so we've been selected every time. They literally have a lottery ball type device.
So we've been selected in the lottery every time.
We have. We have a fantastic. If it had anything to do with the real lottery, we could be rich. But it doesn't.
Really? I wonder if that's because our mayor called us all Taliban or something up here.
No.
I think that could have. I mean, that would sway me if I was the governor.
So the way that works is
Taliban up there in North Idaho.
The goal is to show a random selection of counties and then random selection of precincts within those counties that could never be known ahead of time what you're going to do, and then audit them. And the minute they're selected, the sheriff from that county, and we've had the sheriff come over to our county, lock the ballot. We can't do it. It's locked and sealed, and only they have a lock. So then when the Secretary of State comes to do the audit, they come. They examine the seal tape, and the sheriff unlocks the door, and away we go.
Yeah. You know, I think that should make every listener that come on, talk to some other people, have great confidence in the state of Idaho, certainly in Bonner County, because we are just like the favorite audit. All right. We are up against our next break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, speaking of audits, we're going to talk about audits. We're going to step away from the election process for just a moment and talk about audits in other contexts to educate you. It's a tutorial, and it's coming up.
Time has proven to be a good judge of quality. When something stands the test of time, you know it's good. Steve here with Pacific Steel and Recycling in Ponderay. Pacific is a 100% employee-owned company that has been delivering great steel products and providing convenient, quality recycling services for more than a century. Here in Ponderay for more than 30 years. So if it's structural steel you need, or just looking to turn your metal trash into cash, visit Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Ponderay.
How do you fit? Do you Dodge? Would you Jeep? Do you even Ram, bro? What about a luxurious interior with advanced technology like the Wagoneer? What about the off-road capabilities and the iconic design of the Jeep?
Or the insane towing and hauling capabilities of the Ram?
Do you Finley like this? Get a new 2023 Jeep Gladiator. Save 20% off MSRP. That's over $10,800 in savings.
Stock number J23604, MSRP 54360, 8154 in rebates, 2718 in Finley discounts. Now only $43,488 plus tax and fees. Financing available on approved credit. Offer expires 1/31/24.
Plus no payments for 90 days.
Shop around if you like. Finley beats any competitor's offer. Or save some time and stop by Finley first for the best price, selection, and service. Visit Finley Dodge Ram and Finley Jeep Superstore in Post Falls at the I-90 Autoplex. Or online at FinleyPostFalls.com.
The Start Something New sales event at Finley in Post Falls. How do you, Finley?
The vaping industry has spent millions of dollars
marketing to us.
Selling us a product they know is highly addictive.
Highly addictive.
Negatively affects our brains,
causes depression and anxiety,
damages our lungs,
and contains cancer-causing toxins.
They know that once we're hooked on nicotine,
it's over.
It's over.
It's over.
They own us.
Don't let the vape companies own you.
And don't let addiction control you. Be smart. Don't start.
Romance Hotline, how can I help you?
Hi, first time caller. So, I'm thinking of getting...
I'm gonna stop you right there.
But I...
What's your name?
Steve?
Look, Steve, I've heard it a million times. I'm gonna get this or I'm gonna do that. There's only one move this Valentine's Day. Sweetheart scratch tickets from the Idaho Lottery. There's 9 sweet sayings to share the love and a chance to win 50 grand.
Okay, so don't give her the unicorn finger puppet?
No.
Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings, must be 18 or older. Play wise.
Hello, this is Scott
and Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us. 208-265-6406.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, welcome in. You are joining us here at Speak Up North Idaho at 97.1 FM, 1450 AM for all of our friends in Boundary County. And you can be live on your phone or on your computer at northidahoradio.com listening to the same transmission. My guest today is Bonner County Clerk Michael Rosedale. And Michael, there's been, as you know, controversy for the last, 2 years or so about audits. And audits are always kind of an area of concern for the people, the taxpayers, as well as the teams that go through the audit. But what I'm interested in today is not the politics of it and the accusations or anything, the misunderstandings maybe is a better word, but what is the law concerning audits here for us, for different entities that we have in Bonner County?
Sure. So the state law and actually accounting laws state that if you have a tax base of over $150,000, you have to file with the controller's office an audit every year. And some that may do less than that file as well and have an audit done anyway. It's good form. So every year we do an external audit. That external audit includes all of our levied funds. So the EMS, all through Bonner County.
You mean all tax funds.
All tax funds. So all of our taxpayer dollars are always audited. And they have been as far back as I know. I know that the Fair Board was created in 1927. So for 97 years, we've done it the same way.
Now, we being the county.
The county.
Okay. So just to underline that so people understand, what you are auditing for the Fair Board, to use that as an example,
right,
are the tax dollars.
All that's right. So we levy for the fairgrounds, and that is for their salaries, benefits, and 20,000 extras that they use for fair ribbons and that type of thing. That always is audited.
And has been
has
forever.
Has been forever. Right. And that's always been included. And our auditing firm that we've used in the past has done a phenomenal job. They've had great reviews, great reports.
And everything is good. There's nothing, there's no bad audit hanging out there that we need to know about from the county funds on the taxpayer money.
That's correct, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
Yep.
But so, and I know this is not audit that you do, but I want the audience to understand there's other money that comes in, for example, to the Fair Board, to the airport, to other entities. Other money comes in, donations and commercial aspects. Who audits that?
Well, the statute, Idaho Code 22-204, 5 and 6, talks about, under the Department of Agriculture, it talks about actually when a Fair Board is created, it's their responsibility to have that done. Now, Bonner County's been looking at that, and other counties have been looking at that, and really the goal is prospectively, but the statute leans towards saying they're responsible for that. In our audit that we do with the, that we've done in the past, we've made it clear it's only the funds that we've levied for. So those, as far as I know, have not been audited. The Fair Board hasn't audited those. Nobody's been auditing those.
This would be ticket sales, concessions,
cash deals,
somebody
exactly
renting
right.
something.
And the difficulty there is, I mean, they would have a difficult time too, and not in a knocking them way, but
right.
as a challenge way. It's very difficult to audit cash businesses. It's impossible for the treasurer and myself to see all those transactions because they don't run through our accounting software.
You're not supposed to. I mean, to see it would be
right.
one thing, but it's not your responsibility to see it, whether you could or could not.
Right. So going forward, we're trying to figure out the best way forward here, and it's still not exactly clear how to do that because I still can't see all their transactions with cash. And so at the end of the day, when I have to sign the audit that I signed talks only about those levied funds. It never talks about those non-levied funds, and it's expressly, it was never included in the scope of work, and that's not something that
by
I
law,
signed up on.
By law.
Well, by contract.
By the scope of work.
Right,
yeah.
By the scope of work done by the external auditor, that wasn't included.
Yeah.
Going forward, we're trying to find a way how we can have that audited, and we have a new auditing firm that's going to look at the county, and we're going to have them look at the Fair Board too, and then incorporate either as a component unit or as an integral unit, which is technical stuff, but incorporate those so that we can get a total picture.
We being the
Bonner
county not
generally.
Necessarily you.
Right. And so what happens is the amounts that they do operate on those is legally and technically not materially significant, but we still want to know what those are.
Exactly.
And that would be something that we would incorporate. And that's something that we're going to look to our new auditors to help direct us with Lewis Marshall.
What about the airport? Is the airport kind of following this? They get county money?
No, the airport is completely under the county, and we audit that fully.
Okay, so everything about the airport is audited by the county through your office.
Yes.
The auditor, the external auditors.
So what happens is my office, all the bills and budgets run through my office, and we pay the bills, we make sure the claims are proper and all that. So we do all that. Then the Board of County Commissioners is charged with overseeing all the county finances, and the way they do that is they hire the external auditors, which then looks at all the books and make sure that everything is done properly. So we don't hire the external auditors.
Okay.
They work for the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay.
And so it's the Board of County Commissioners that selects that,
not
my office,
yeah.
Not anybody else's office.
Awesome. That is really good to know. And I do think I saw that at a meeting or something recently. Okay, so Fair Board Airport. Is there another entity in Bonner County that gets taxpayer money or levy money that you're calling it that you audit, but they have other streams of income that are not under the purview of the county, but there are other auditors that need to take care of that.
Well, so we have EMS is one, but they don't get other streams of income. We do audit those when they come in. They get,
okay,
you know,
so they're all county
the courier
money
charges,
too.
Yeah, when they get home. But something like the Panhandle Health District, so we levy for that, but they also get sources from all the other counties and other sources. So we don't audit their books. We audit the levied funds that we levy.
How many times can we say this and get this through to people so they can understand who audits what?
Right.
And so you audit, county audits,
we audit
county taxpayer money.
Right. So exactly. We do not audit the school districts. We don't audit the library districts. We collect taxes for them. Or I should say our treasurer collects taxes for them, and then we disperse those out. But we don't audit all those taxing districts. Those are separate from us. We bring them in as a central point.
So like the hospital, Ponderay Hospital Taxing District, which of course confuses everybody. It's not Ponderay Hospital. It's actually Bonner General Hospital, but I don't know. They called it Ponderay. That's a taxing district.
It is.
Do you audit their
We
that
do not.
Part?
They're their own taxing district.
They're their own taxing.
Right.
Like
we collect it for them and
okay.
distribute it to them, but we don't audit them.
Who audits
they're their own
that?
District.
Who audits that?
They would secure their own outside auditors.
Okay.
Because they bring in over 150,000 a year.
Not the commissioners.
Not our commissioners. They're not over those.
They're
yep.
own little private taxing. They're a taxing district, but
they
kind of have private territory.
Well,
I kind of don't like that.
They're still subject to state law and
yeah.
whatever other regulatory, you know, requirements.
I know, but I like to make sure it's outside eyes that are
right.
Okay. It's all good. So that's an example, like the library, like the school district. They get their own auditors, and they are of all integrity.
Yes.
Yes. Any other entity in the county that has multiple streams that you only do the levy money and they've got to come out, or is it's beginning to sound like the fair is unique? Fair board, the fair operation.
We have a historical society. That it's not very much money.
But still, the
it's
example.
Something, right. So it would be that. And we audit the monies that we levy for with the Historical Society, but we get them in and then we send them out. We disperse those to the Historical Society.
Right.
So there are a couple like that.
If they have other streams of income, they're responsible for the audit on that. If they've got any other stream of income, like some dowager in Spokane who gives them money.
Yep. Yes.
Somebody else would, in the historical group would have to say, we need to audit that money.
Right.
Okay, so audits. I think it's confusing to a lot of our listeners. We just think the county needs to audit everything, and it's not so. That is not the way it is or should be if there are other outside streams of income.
Well, we should audit
for that.
Well, no, we should audit
the
just
tax
about everything.
Money, yeah.
We have every year we've audited everything that we have any purview over, any control over.
Yeah.
And we've done that every single year since I've been here, and every year
I'm
going back.
I'm just trying to get people to understand you're only responsible for the audits that you are required by law to do for Bonner County tax money.
There's been a lot of discussion about
your team.
There's been a lot of discussion about the auditing those other sources of revenue at the fairgrounds. I know the RFP done with our old auditor didn't call specifically for that, and as far as I know, that's never been done. And so Bonner County's commissioners, legal, treasurer, auditors have been doing it the same way for decades and decades because that's all we can do. There are some people that want it done differently, and that's fine.
That's a process.
Trying to decide retroactively that it should have been done that way when everybody's offices were in a general agreement back then.
That's a good point. It's really hard to go retroactive on something that did not have any boundaries, any guidelines, any people, doing whatever.
Right.
And we're not required to do whatever.
Right.
All right. We are up against the last break. We're going to take it now. We're going to go back to the election process and get our listeners prepared for, that primary is coming up May 21st. The Republican caucus is March 2nd. We're going to talk about that. And somehow the Democratic caucus is after the primary. I don't know how that works, but that Michael Rosedale is going to explain it to us.
Lenaque Realty has a beautiful listing in the Pinecrest neighborhood just outside Sandpoint city limits. Close to town, Schweitzer Mountain Resort and Lake Ponderay. This property features 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and an office at 2,016 square feet. Vaulted ceilings above the living room and stainless steel appliances in the kitchen. A fully fenced garden and orchard. Enjoy the mountain views and the most beautiful sunsets Idaho has to offer. Priced at $749,000. For all your real estate needs, see the professionals at Lenaque Realty.
Deer Park Farm Center is now AgriService, so get your equipment ready for spring. Schedule your winter service inspection at AgriService and save up to 15% on AMCO parts and have our factory-trained service technicians complete the work. Schedule now and have your service complete before March 31st to take advantage of this deal. Don't sacrifice your productivity. Get the most reliable service with our winter service special happening now at AgriService. We don't compromise on quality, and neither should you. AgriService. Together, we drive agriculture forward.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Homeowners, it's a new year and time to replace your windows. Feeling too hot or cold? Time to replace. Fog between the glass? Time to replace. Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's definitely time to replace. And right now, you can now get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. With our New Year's sales event, you can save $375 off every window and $775 off every door when you buy 4 or more units. Just text OLD to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for $0 down, 0 monthly payments, and 0 interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text OLD to 200-300 to save $375 off every window and $775 off every door when you buy 4 or more units. But hurry, this incredible New Year's offer won't last long. Text OLD to 200-300. Text the word OLD to 200-300. Text OLD to 200-300.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Homeowners, it's a new year and time to replace your windows. Feeling too hot or cold? Time to replace. Fog between the glass? Time to replace. Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's definitely time to replace. And right now, you can now get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. With our New Year's sales event, you can save $375 off every window and $700 $175 off every door when you buy four or more units. Just text HOLD to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for $0 down, zero monthly payments, and zero interest for a year. That's right. You don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text HOLD to 200-300 to save $375 off every window and $775 off every door when you buy four or more units. But hurry, this incredible New Year's offer won't last long. Text HOLD to 200-300. Text the word HOLD to 200-300. Text HOLD to 200-300.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Honestly, you guys, welcome back in. I am so confused right now, so I'm going to stop, and I'm going to let Bonner County Clerk Michael Rosedale, he's our guest today, he's going to explain. I don't know how I got confused about caucuses and primaries and who gets to vote and who gets what ballot. To me, it just got fruit basket upset. So straighten me out and everybody else.
Okay, there is a caucus for the presidential candidate selection, a presidential caucus for the Republicans and for the Democrats. I am not aware of any for the Libertarian or Constitution parties. The Republican caucus is March 2nd, and the Democrat caucus is May 23rd. And my office has nothing to do with those. That is purely a Republican and Democrat party function. And if they will contact you as a voter directly, if they contact you at all, that's again.
They'll tell you where to vote, what to do, who's eligible.
They will, and it's not going to be at the same polling places either. It's totally separate. So there's that. However, we are in charge.
Okay, that's the presidential.
That's the presidential
caucus. I do have a question. How is it possible the Democrats? Oh, after the primary, I guess it doesn't matter. Is the president's name on the primary ballot?
It is not.
It is not. So it's only local stuff or state stuff, not presidential on the ballot for us that we're getting May 21st through you guys.
Yes. The president's horses are decided in the caucus, and they go straight to November.
Okay, I get
that. So
it
doesn't really matter when they do it as long as it's before November.
So listen, everybody, you're on your own figuring out where that caucus is.
Well, your party, whoever party, if you're a Republican or Democrat, if you're a Republican or Democrat, your party should notify you. Okay, I'll keep talking because we've lost our hostess. So what will happen, though, is in May, we do have an election. May we have a primary. And it's important that you register properly as whatever party you want. The Democrats have open primaries, meaning anybody can vote the Democratic ballot. However, the Constitution, if you're registered Constitution, you can vote Constitution or Democrat. If you're a registered Libertarian, you can vote Libertarian or Democrat. Republican, Republican or Democrat. Everybody can also choose unaffiliated, but don't do that. Unaffiliated does not mean everything.
Unaffiliated means nothing. You don't get anything.
Almost nothing.
Yes. Yeah, so. I'm unaffiliated. Ignore me.
Right.
I don't get anything. I don't get to play. I don't get invited to the dance.
That's right.
I can't even go to somebody's basement and vote in a caucus. It's just like I don't get anything.
And I know we're running out of time. There are a couple dates I do want to hit.
No, so we got plenty of time. I'm back under control here. It's just picturing everybody going into some basement and voting for a caucus, like it's, who knows where this is going on. It could be going on in Montana for all I know.
So we have March 4th through 15th is a candidate filing time for anybody running for the local county offices. Another important date is April 26th, and that's pre-registration deadline to vote. So you want to, if you're going to register or change your party affiliation, you want to get all that done by then.
That's like almost, not quite.
Actually, the last day to change party affiliation is March 15th, excuse me. Last day to actually register.
You could walk in that afternoon and identify as a Republican if you wanted
to. Yeah, so March 15th is the last day to change your party
affiliation. 6 days before the election.
No.
15th? May? Say March?
It's March 15th. Sorry, May. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
March 15th.
So say that again.
March 15th is the last day to change your political party affiliation.
Right. When you go on to voteidaho.gov, and let's say you're asking for that, it's going to show you or you're going to tell them what your party is. And you have to, whoever you are and whatever you are, you only have until March 26th.
March 15th.
March 15th.
Right.
To change it so you could vote in a different primary.
Exactly right. So you have that. This
so that's some protection there.
Right. This May, we will have elections for county commissioner districts number 1 and 3, the county sheriff.
Sheriffs.
The county assessor.
And this is true, by the way, up in Boundary County, just to give you a
heads up. Entire state of Idaho.
The whole state of Idaho. Yes. Next week, I'm talking to one of the candidates. I don't know if he'll be the only one. The only one I know about Boundary County Sheriff candidate, John Van Giesen. Anyway, so yeah, all the sheriffs
the county
are on the ballots.
Only our county assessor, because he was appointed midterm. The other county assessors go again in 2 years. So only our county assessor that I know of. And then we have the prosecuting attorney. And then all the precinct committeemen for the Republicans and Democrat parties, they are also up in May.
I think I need to do a show on all of that because they are elected.
Yes.
And it's important that they are elected. And they have that responsibility to be and do what they say they're going to be and do as Republican or Democrat precinct committeemen and women. So I think that's something that's really important, and I actually think misunderstood. So Tuesday, May 21st, so get registered to vote, right? If you want an absentee ballot, get on the state website and register for an absentee ballot. I hardly want to talk about it, but what about early voting? I don't like early voting. I don't know why. My heart just goes against it. It's like, you know.
Well, so that's a valid point of view.
I know.
But early voting is just like regular voting. Right. You get the exact same ballot. It has a unique ID number on it as well. It's under lock and seal, just like all the other ballots.
Can't go back and vote again.
Can't go back and vote again. And your name then shows on the register that you have voted. Exactly. So it's the same process. It's actually safer than probably Election Day because it's under my office's lock and key.
Right. So early voting, to do early voting, you have to go into the county offices here, Highway 200 and like Division, and ask to do early voting, and supposedly, hopefully you're registered. If you're not registered, could you do it all in one thing? I want to register and I want to vote?
Yes.
Wow.
Just like on Election Day.
Right. Do you do a full field background check or something to make sure it's legit?
We do the same for everybody. We have to have a valid Idaho driver's license or ID card, the same.
The same process for everybody to get registered and that. I know that you don't want to talk about, I heard a colleague talking about open primaries, and it concerns me because it sounds like what the Open Primary Initiative is all about is to encourage Democrats who are Democrats with their platform and their values and their positions to come in and want to influence the nominee choice. You know, everybody gets to vote in the general election. Everybody gets the same ballot. But in the primaries, Mike, that's where the Republicans are coming up with their best nominee that they want. And to have Democrats come in and say, well, you know, I think I like this guy because he's a lot more like a Democrat than the guy you like. So I just think there's something really wrong with it. But I'm telling you, when I was approached by a couple of people at the library, it was one place, oh, yeah, open primaries, it sounds so good. Because supposedly people don't get to vote in the primaries. You know, this is the way you can exercise your vote. I think it's a lie, but it concerns me very much.
Right.
Does that affect anything about your primary process if that goes through?
It would change who you get to vote for if you're registered a certain way.
Yeah.
But it won't affect this primary. It would be something that would, I don't think it would affect this primary. It'd be how fast they can get that through.
Right.
It would then have to get on the ballot. It'd have to get voted on by the state.
They have to get the signatures.
Yeah,
they have to get on the ballot this fall, it has to get through.
Wouldn't
the
be this fall. Well, this fall wouldn't matter because remember the general election is not, it doesn't matter what party you are. Everybody gets the exact same ballot in November.
Everybody gets to vote
on
the general election. Yeah, we're just talking about the primary
where the May primary.
The Republicans and the Democrats, to just take those as an example, come up with their nominee.
It's just the May primary every even year. So it's only that one every even year that it would affect.
All right. Well, listen, as always, you keep me straight. You keep our listeners straight. I appreciate it so much. Terry Schultz keeps you straight. I think it's all working very good. Thank you so much. We will try to have you back. We will have you back before the primary just to kind of shore up some of this for our listeners. As I told you, come on back next week. Speaking about elections, we will be talking with John Van Giesen, who is seeking the nomination for Boundary County Sheriff, seeking the nomination for Boundary County Sheriff. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves, each other, and for heaven's sake, slow down out there. Maybe we need a driver's refresher winter driving course required around here. And even if you don't slow down, may God richly bless you, my friends.